teach young people. Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Seems as though the construction workers are just as excited about building this new church as we are. They literally dodged the rain today and yesterday, and it would start raining and they would gather in the trailer. When it quit, they went back out and went back to work. They did that several times, but apparently they're really getting it done. Praise God for that. Things will start showing here before too awful long as it begins to rise from the dirt. Amen. Kind of like God's special creation. Amen. All right, while you're standing, we're going to focus on the Word of God. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 53 through 56. John 8, 53 through 56. Amen. John 8 and 53 says, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham," this is what I want you to see, "he rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." I just want to tell you something that your pastor believes with all of my heart, and that is that the patriarchs of old have their eyes on us. If it were not true, Jesus would not have said it. Abraham now sees his day. He saw his day. But not only did Abraham see it, what did he do? Bible study. Now teach me something. Everybody shout, he rejoiced. He rejoiced. Amen. We've been along these lines before. And to be honest with you, this is what happened. Brother Mark Hannibal from the state of Florida pastors a great church there. And we were in a meeting with multicultural ministries together, and Brother Stan Gleason was preaching a wonderful sermon, and he spoke about Abraham, and he briefly mentioned about Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Jesus, and this clicked in my heart, and I turned to Brother Hannibal and I said, "Man, I preach a message entitled Living to Make Abraham Rejoice." And that's all I wanted to say. I just felt it strong, and I remembered the message and I enjoyed preaching it. And he said, "Oh my Lord, Brother Marshburn, send that to me. You got to send, I want that. Will you send that? Here's my card right here with my address on it." And so, and I apologize to you before I apologize to him. That's been months ago. And I forgot. And I saw his card and I saw the sermon. I thought, "Oh, I got to get that done." And I started reading over it and I thought, "Dear Lord, we got to do this again." Amen. Because it's a goal in my life. And I want it to be a goal in your life. I'm sure there are several that are here tonight that was not here when I preached it or taught it, whatever I did before. But I want Abraham to rejoice that he saw my day. Wouldn't it be just an awesome thing, Brother Ferrugia, if Abraham, Moses, and all those guys were watching our lives and they're just clapping their hands at some of the things we do and they're just rejoicing about some of the things we say. And listen, I know we're human and I know mistakes are there, but I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about the things we do for God. I'm talking about the things we accomplish for the kingdom. Don't you think that it would be worth setting goals to see Abraham rejoice that he saw our day? So that's what I want to talk about. Living to make Abraham rejoice. Amen. So we're going to talk about it tonight. I'm not going to preach about it, but we're going to talk about it. And so let's ask the Lord to help us. Holy Ghost, we call on your great name. We seek your favor. We seek your anointing. Master, we don't overlook our weaknesses. We don't overlook how simple we are and sometimes how fleshly minded and carnal we can get. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help each and every one of us with that. Give us strength. Give us power. Overcoming. But at the same time, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord that you would help us to set in our minds a goal this evening, that the patriarchs of old that blazed a trail for us, for they never saw it. They were just the shadow of that thing that was to come, and that was you. But now they've seen it, and they rejoice. They rejoiced about the day that they saw you. I pray, God, that you would help us, that they would rejoice in our day as well. And everybody say, in the name of Jesus. God richly bless you as you're seated. Did I say thank you for being at Bible study? Well, I meant to say thank you for being at Bible study. Amen. Praise God. I want to say to our newcomers, and that's those of you perhaps that have not been in the church very long, haven't been coming very long, or perhaps even visiting perhaps tonight, I want to say you're just now coming in on the scene of some great, marvelous, powerful, and wonderful things that God has intentions to do for this great assembly. We're on the verge of the mark of the beast. We're on the verge of the soon coming of the Lord. We're on the verge. We're right there at the end time and all of that business. You say, well, how do you know? Well, evidence, proof, newspapers, all of that is just simply proving to all of us that hailstones and hailstorms are getting bigger. And by the time tribulation comes, they'll weigh 100 pounds apiece. And then the mark of the beast is being introduced. And I'm not saying the mark of the beast is out, but I'm saying it's blazing a trail. They're making a way for it to become what it's going to be. And that people are literally having a chip put into the back of their hand in the state of California and other places, and they can just scan that and money is deducted from their account. We need to wake up and smell the coffee, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord's getting ready to come. And I don't want to just be ready to go. I want Abraham to be saying, yes, they're going to make it. They're doing a good job with what God had for us to carry to them. Amen. So, newcomers, you're just coming in on the scene. I don't know whose shoes you're going to fill, or I don't know who's going to be encouraged by your words, but when you, I just want you to make it good, and I want you to truly make it count. I want you to make a difference. Amen. We cannot shut up. We cannot sit down. We cannot give up, and we cannot give in, and we must not give out. Somebody say amen. Now, if you are a newcomer, or if you've been coming to church forever, it's always good to learn how to read the Bible. I walked down the short hall to the fellowship hall, and I saw someone marking the bread chart up there where they're reading their Bible. If I'm not mistaken, they've already checked the last month. And I said, what? That's an accomplishment. To have already read the Bible this year. And many of you, let's get our names on there. Let's read the Bible. Amen. We need to know how to serve God, to live for the Lord. And the Word of God does that for us. And so the way to read the Bible is you read to succeed. Don't read it to get the story, but read it to apply it, so you can succeed in living for the Lord. So it's an application. When you read it, just apply it, get it in, devour it. And then I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that today's reader is tomorrow's leader. And don't cop out on me and say, well, I don't think I'll ever want to be a leader, or I'll ever be a leader. No, you're not if you don't read your Bible. So today's reader will be tomorrow's leader. And so if you want to charge yourself, challenge yourself, you want to change yourself, be a reader of the Word of God. Amen. And so another thing is, let's not shop for verses that we like the best. Let's read the Word of God and receive it as it is, right? Did you notice that Jesus in that scripture said, talked about liars, and then he said, like you guys are. I'm not calling anybody a liar here, but Jesus did. And so was that in the Word of God? And so what do you do? Amen. If you're a liar, you just don't read that part anymore because that offends you? No, you read all of that. Amen. And where my problems are, I let that minister to me. Where your problems are, I let that minister to you and let that challenge you. That's what the Word of God does. And so we can't pick out the best parts. In other words, the Word of God does not adjust to us. We don't adjust the Word of God to us. We must adjust to the Word of God. Does that make sense? Good. And so another thing we do is we read the Word of God to rule. Amen. It helps us to overcome the flesh. It helps us to overcome the enemy. It helps us to overcome the world. And so we want to rule those things. We want to conquer those things and win the battle against those things. And that's what the Word of God does for us. And so I challenge you, get back to the Word and dig deep. And don't stop. Don't ever stop. Just because we've read the Bible through maybe once, don't use that for bragging rights to never read it again. That's no great accomplishment. If you read the Bible through once, there's no way you got all of that material. There's no way you comprehend all that material. But if you read the Bible this year, you read it next year, next year, next year, and the next year, it's going to begin flowing and coming, and you're going to begin to understand and comprehend, and you will grow as the Word of God grows in you. Amen. So read to rule. And then finally, when you read the Word of God, read to see what it says to your need. Anybody have needs? Come on, wave at me if you have a need, any kind of need. All right? Let's read the Word of God to find out how it can help us with the need. Read to meet the need. All right. One of our goals should be to become a pillar to this church and a pillar to the moving of God and everything He represents. Remember, when Samson broke the pillars, the temple fell. You're called to hold all of this up. Amen. And you are a pillar to this assembly. There's many of us that sometimes we just think we are absolutely nothing. But the very moment you break and perhaps you leave, you'll find out who you influenced, because they'll leave as well. We don't need our pillars being broken. We don't need our pillars being busted, because if they do, the very foundation is shaken and things cave in and things are demolished and things are broken. We don't need that. And so we need you to continue to be a pillar and hold all of this up. I'd rather fail helping someone triumph or overcome than triumph helping someone fail. We can't have a goal to see someone hurting. We cannot have a goal in our mind or in our heart to see someone fail. I'd rather try and see someone make it than to see someone fail. This world didn't make you. And so I'm asking you not to let this world break you. This world is not our home, ladies and gentlemen. We're just passing through. The song says, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And that's why I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. And so you've been handed something beyond special from our great, great engrafted grandfathers and grandmothers of the Old Testament. And the best way to lose it is not to use it. Amen. I've read the scripture where the locusts crawl over the dead bodies of their dead comrades to devour the land. When those locusts come in swarms, they literally kill one another by suffocating others. That they're so thick and embedded that many of them cannot breathe for long periods of time, and they just die. Or they don't get to the food because there's so many devouring it so quick, and they just die. But the ones that are alive just continue to crawl over their dead comrades to get to where they're going. You're here to take America. You're in this church to overcome the world and to take it for the sake of truth and apostolic values. You've got to crawl over anything carnal, sinful, or not godlike that gets in your way. We've got to make Abraham rejoice that he had the chance to see our day. I wish I was preaching this. I want Abraham to look at you and I, and again, I would like to hear him shout, yes. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, we talk about them and they're great heroes. We talk about the Moseses and the Joshuas and the Davids, but you never think about the fact that now it's our turn and they're looking at us. We've seen what they've done and we rejoice. And now it's turned to where they're watching us, and I want them to rejoice. Amen. And so every successful ministry will eventually stand on the shoulders of a dead man of God. You're to see to it that that man of God will rest in peace and that the future is secure. This nation was built upon two principles, and I've shared that with you, but let me do it again. That is, number one is morality. Number two, Christianity. Say that with me. Morality and Christianity. That's what our nation was established and built upon. They came here to establish America for freedom and liberty to worship. And so you cannot be successful in this country without these principles for very long. They are its foundation, what it was built on. That's why prisons and jails are so full, because too many are trying shortcuts to success. Anyone can be successful. Here's what I want Landmark to be. Significant. I don't want us to just be successful. I want us to be significant. I want this church to be the church that's needed. I want this to be the church that is wanted. I want this to be the church that is watched, that is looked at, that we can open our doors and people can come in and be filled. It doesn't matter whether they're sinner or child of God alike. Amen. I want preachers to come here and try to preach to you and leave encouraged themselves. We won't have to pay them. I'm just kidding. Praise God. And so, morality and Christianity. Amen. Any structure must continue to be built upon the construction of the foundation. And so I want us to build on what Abraham established for us and to be proud. Where do wise men build their homes? Of course, the Bible answer is on the rock. Amen. Listen, the elders are not afraid of our future if the young are not afraid to shape it. The elders have no worries about our future if the young are not afraid to charge it and shape it. Be very careful that your fervor doesn't become a fever. I mean, we don't want to come to church here just because our friends do and just get all up in a lather and have a good time and forget prayer and forget outreach and forget worship and all of that. Just where are we going after service, or what are we going to do this Friday night for fun, or what are we going to, you know, don't let your fervor become a fever, because a fever is a sickness. Amen. But fervor is good. Fever is a sickness, and I want you to be full of fervor, but I want it to be positioned right. I want it to be led right and directed right. Let's just be on fire like a fever with fervor for God. Amen. Don't make me repeat that again, because I couldn't and I'd think I had a small stroke. Hebrews 13:17. Let's get that real quick. Where the Bible says, there's only one pastor here, so I get to say this. I don't get a lot of pleasure from it, but it's what the scripture says. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Do you hear what that just said? And I know it's talking about the man of God and the pastor and all of that, but I put myself in the same position that I'm putting you in right now, because Abraham is watching me. And so, you know, I mean, I feel like I've been a part of his flock because of what he developed and what the truth that was developed from what he did. I'm a part of all of that. I've been engrafted into all of that. It's important to me to know that he done that with joy, and that he was glad to see my day, and that he's not grieving who I am. Does that make sense? And so, I've always said attitude will determine your altitude. Now, raise your hand if you're real quick to get upset and talk about people. What? Wow. I always knew this was an awesome church. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, right. Amen. Let's learn to fly higher than that. Let's learn to get over that part about being human. Let's try to win that battle. It may take a while, and we may not be 100% successful all the time, but we can win sometime, and that's worth fighting the battle. Amen? So attitude will determine your altitude. I want you flying high in the Holy Ghost, so let's get a hold of our attitudes. I can teach anybody ministry, but I can't teach you to get along with people. That's a choice. And if you can't get along with people, how are you going to lead people? We need you to help people. Amen. You know why you're here? Someone helped you. You know why you're going to have people here? Because you're going to help them. Amen. Ministry that can't manage attitude will always be in a struggle. You'll always be in a fight. And it's just the nature of the beast. And so if you'll be your best, you'll devour the beast. So listen to this. Mercy needs more than a message. Mercy needs more than a sermon. Mercy needs more than just a Sunday Christian. Mercy needs a face. Mercy needs someone that can represent the kingdom of God and show this world and show people, show friends and family and loved ones how great God is. And that's your face. That's my face. That's what mercy needs. We know mercy comes from God, but how many of you have obtained mercy from God? Show this world your face. Show them the grace and show them the mercy of God. Amen. And so, to be honest with you, it's one thing to shout to them, but it's another thing to take it to them. These are very important points that I hope that you're getting here tonight. And I want to show mercy because he showed me mercy. I want to show grace because he showed me grace. And I want to show love because he showed me love. How many of you did he love when you were just unlovable? Because not only am I confessing, I'm praising him for his mercy, because he loved me when I was unlovable. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Listen, no one cares how much you preach until you begin to preach about how much you care. No one cares about how much you talk about God and all of that until you begin to talk about how much God cares about them and how much you care about them. John 17, 19 and 20. Are we okay? John 17, 19 and 20. Obey them that have the rule over you. Okay. Here we go. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. Amen. There's some things we can do for ourselves, right? That they also might be sanctified through what? The truth. Listen to this. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Your word is going to cause someone to believe or not. Your words are going to cause somebody to come into the kingdom or miss it. Your words are going to see to it that someone is baptized in Jesus' name or not. So that's why he prayed so earnestly. He said, I'm not just praying for the for lost souls and all of that, but I'm praying for those that have all of this, which shall believe on me through their words. I want that to register with me tonight, that my words are important. Amen. So, it makes sense. The Lord could care less about the way anyone else does it. Keep your eyes off of the world. Jesus did not concern himself with the world. Look at John 17 and 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Hallelujah. He doesn't care. He said, I'm not praying for this world. He said, I'm praying for them. He said, I pray not for the world, but for them that you gave me. The Lord could care less about the way the world does it. Listen, charismatic figureheads are not the authority of the day. They didn't come up with anything new. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. The gospel's still the same. Jesus is still the same. I don't care how they try to color it. I don't care how much they try to water it down. I don't care how much they try to jazz it up. I don't care how much noise they make. If it ain't worship to the one true and only living God, it's only noise. You'll get to a place where you will not have to be the man anymore. Amen. I want you to get completely out of the darkness and to begin to live in his marvelous light to make Abraham, somebody say it, rejoice. Hidden vices and addiction sacrificed on the altar. Repentance before any advancement in ministry takes place. He can't pull you from the darkness until the darkness is pulled from you. You can't complain about what you allow. Making up your mind today that you will make Abraham rejoice to see your day. Amen. How do we build the character of Jesus Christ? Again, through the Word. That's how we do it. Amen. When we know the Word, guess what else we'll know? We'll know Him. You are a revelation to this generation. You and I both know there's a lot of people out there that do not know this true message. And so we are a revelation to this generation. Amen. Let me perform the world's shortest communion service. Are you ready? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Somebody shout, remembrance. When a limb is severed from your body, you've been dismembered. When the limb is sewn back on, you have been remembered. Again, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We drink the juice and eat the bread to bring his body that was broken back together. The subject is about unity. If he had to be broken, wouldn't it stand to reason that we have to be broken as well? So get ready. He's going to cut deep into your attitude, and you will find out that He will get all the praise for whatever you accomplish. Let's stand together. And regardless of what God has to do with me, I want Abraham to rejoice that he saw my day. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deep simply demands deep. Praise God. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why don't we just lift our hands and pray, call on the name of the Lord, and ask God to give us a hunger and a desire to fall in love with the truth, to fall in love with Him personally, to love Him like we've never loved Him, and let Him be real, let Him be right, let Him be true, let Him be faithful, let Him be the Father. Call on the name of the Lord right now with me, shall we? Hallelujah! Master, we love and live. Praise and honor, worship and exalt. Magnify and glorify the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for the challenge from the Word of God. Lord, Your will to be done in our lives. We pray this evening in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody shouted amen. If you love the Lord, shout hallelujah. God bless you, Landmark. I know you do. Amen. Shake hands, be friendly, greet our guests and visitors and one another.